Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. Friends, as we continue to explore the famous Bread of Life discourse, which is St. John's Gospel chapter 6, Christ continues to lead us deeper into the meaning of the Eucharist and into the very meaning of Christian life, the very purpose of this life we have in Christ. We often spend far too much time chasing the things of this world that perish and minimizing the time that we spend working with Jesus. It's easy to do, and we've been conditioned to do it, to pursue instant gratification, to shrink back to avoid mystery and ambiguity, to seek power and privilege. But remember from last week, walking with Christ is indeed difficult, no doubt about that, but this is the path to lasting peace and joy. Not fleeting, but lasting peace and joy, to true flourishing. And it's also fun, it's amazing, it's exciting to walk with the Lord. I am the bread of life, Christ teaches. He doesn't say, here's the bread of life, I'm going to hand it to you. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. If you are truly seeking to make the bread of life the center of your life and responding to his call for you, the vocation that he's calling you to, you do this by using the three-legged stool we've talked about, celebrating the sacraments, praying every day, serving other people. If you're doing that, responding to his call in this way, then you will be very satisfied in your vocation. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. On the other hand, if the bread of this world is your primary concern and the bread of life is kind of a sideshow, then you will end up grumbling against God like the Israelites in today's first reading. And you'll see him as a competitor or hindrance to your happiness and well-being. In the historical context of that first reading, God has just delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt through a series of astounding miracles. All the plagues that happened with the Pharaoh, and then he leads them through the Red Sea. This just happened immediately before this. And look at the response. Look how quickly they turn against him. It's amazing. And this happens because they're focused on themselves and the things of this world. We want that same food we had in Egypt. We want the comfort that we had in Egypt. You're making us uncomfortable, God. Kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? When God's calling us to do something difficult. In today's second reading, St. Paul seeks to help us avoid this pitfall as he continues his excellent teaching on vocations. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, he declares, in the futility of their minds. That is not how you learn Christ. That's not how we learn Christ either. We don't just learn things about Christ. We experience the goodness of Christ bursting forth within us. We experience him coming to us in the sacraments. So let's not hang on to this futile way of life of the people out in the world. Christ called the Ephesians, that's who he's writing to here, he called the Ephesians out of this futile way of life into something much, much greater and more wonderful, just as he has done for each and every one of us. Therefore, Paul also encourages you to put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in God's way, not your way, God's way, in righteousness and holiness of truth. In short, what Paul's getting at here is, we're called to live the Eucharist. This is who we are. This is what we're called to be. This is how we're called to live. And this way of life stands in radical contrast to the world around us. That's why it's so hard to live. Because we're getting pounded with other messages. And when we live this way, we get resistance. Living the Eucharist means that you can't just see the Mass as an obligation and merely go through the motions each Sunday. We have to do that. I mean, that's the bare bones minimum. We have to show up, right? If we're gonna, but we have to go beyond that. And if you seek to enter more deeply into the mystery of the Eucharist, you'll come to see Mass as the highlight of your week, the greatest gift that God has given you, the one thing you will not miss each week. All these other things you can will go, but I'm looking forward to Mass. I'm coming to Mass no matter what. That's the way you'll start to see it. If you enter into the mystery, get past the surface. And then your participation in the Eucharist won't end when you walk out the doors here, when you exit the church. You will eagerly get involved in ministries, prayer groups, Bible studies, etc., the life of the church, at your workplace, with your buddies, playing cards, whatever you do. You're going to start evangelizing just naturally, and it's going to be good, and you're going to enjoy it. But in order to do this, you must build up your relationship with the Lord. Relationship is the key word there. And in all facets of your life, so that He becomes your center. He becomes your North Star, your guiding light, so to speak. Only through this relationship will you be able to enter more deeply into the Eucharist, to penetrate below the surface. And only by getting tough on sin can you grow in relationship with Him. So there's a cascading series of events here. And you have to get tough on sin, since to sin is to seek the things of this world over Christ, above and beyond Christ, which is seeking the bread that perishes over the bread that doesn't perish, the bread of life. So ongoing conversion is absolutely essential in putting away the old self, as Paul is saying, this corruption, these deceitful desires, and then putting on the new self, living in the righteousness of God, in His holiness, in His truth. That's what Paul's getting at. It doesn't just magically happen. We have to follow Him. Transformation we have to seek. Friends, you have been given the very bread from heaven. The very bread from heaven. Don't take it for granted, this magnificent gift of the Eucharist. God has tenderly and lovingly called you to the one vocation that will truly set you free, truly fulfill you. Don't refuse Him. Don't reject Him. Embrace Him. Christ is the bread of life, and He's offering you much more than the world can possibly give throughout your whole lifetime. Even right now, He's giving you way more than the world can give throughout your lifetime. But moreover, He wants to share eternal bliss with you when your earthly life is over. That's what He wants for you. Don't turn Him down. So don't grumble against Him. Don't begrudge Him when you don't get what you want. That's only going to lead to more unhappiness. You're going to go from unhappiness to more unhappiness. That's all that's going to lead to. Instead, be thankful and rejoice in the huge abundance that God has already lavished upon you and the riches that He wants to continually give to you going forward. That's our God. And seek out this great abundance, not by demanding more from God, but seeking transformation yourself and walking the path of conversion. The three-legged stool again here. Going to confession regularly. I highly recommend at least once a month. Coming to Mass every Sunday and on holy days. Living a life of daily prayer. And then from there going in service to your brothers and sisters. This won't be a life of ease, no doubt about it. Will be a life of joy and great fulfillment. It won't be a life of ease, but it is the best life you can possibly live. A wonderful and exciting life. And the only way to be truly free and full of the peace and joy beyond all understanding. And brothers and sisters, who doesn't want that?